Hello, everyone. So we're gonna present this work. This platform is called Bella. We're gonna do a short, not that short, workshop after that. And so Bella is an embedded platform for audio and sensor processing that's been developed at Centre for Digital Music at Queen Mary University of London mostly by people that are not here, as in started with work from Andrew McPherson and Victor Zappi a couple of years ago. And they had to make an hackable musical instrument, which should probably be somewhere. Well, I'll find it later. They had to make a hackable musical instrument where you could sort of break out the internal connection of digital musical instrument so that people can hack them, could hack it on a breadboard, like as if they were doing circuit bending on an analog instrument. And to do that, you needed a few things, like you needed plenty of IOs, possibly at audio rate or similar, so that you could use normal values of capacitors and resistors to actually make something happen. And you need low latency because there were multiple in and outs, and you needed the signal needed to go in and out a few times. And that's why this platform was designed in the first place. And now we just released it to the rest of the world as a platform for audio, generic platform for audio and sensor processing. We did that through a Kickstarter campaign that was closed, that ended 10 days ago or something. And so, yes, let's see what it is. You see I rehearsed the slides very well. The idea was to get away from cumbersome solutions, like having an Arduino plugged into your Raspberry Pi so that you could read them through pure data. So you could read the digital inputs through pure data to make some sounds. Or having it plugged into your laptop or your general desktop machine, or using the Raspberry Pi on its own. Each of these have different levels of different reasons why this platform tries to tie all them together. Of course, on the Arduino, you can't really do any serious audio processing. You just don't have enough power. But you have the advantage of being able to connect to at very low level with any sort of hardware. On the Pi, I guess you could do pretty much similar I/O stuff. You have digital GPIOs. You probably have analog ins as well. But it's an embedded platform, so it's great because it can be embedded into musical instruments and sort of things. But you need a custom environment, as we'll see later, to make the thing actually work properly. I tried to run Raspberry Pi with a USB dongle as a audio in and out, and I was getting some 50 milliseconds latency with PD, so that wasn't really something useful for playing music. Of course, you could use your laptop, but again, you would lose at that point the low-level connectivity. And this platform tries to package everything in a convenient package, which is built on top of a BeagleBone Black. We're actually using a stock BeagleBone Black and a custom cape. Custom Bella cape comes with those 8 analog inputs, 8 analog outputs, sampled at 22 kilohertz. You can actually reduce the number of channels to get higher sampling rate. These are DC coupled, string, DAC, and what's called again, successive approximation ADCs. So they're a bit noisy, but they're very fast. They have no built-in, there's no latency associated with them, as instead is the case for the audio codec, because we also have audio input and output, stereo audio input and output, but these converters are sigma delta, so you have a round trip latency of the converter itself that's around 38 samples. We'll talk about this a bit more later. So there's a custom software environment that's matched with the cape that actually is based on the design of the audio cape for the BeagleBone Black, but doesn't have an ALSA driver. You can't use it as you would use a regular audio interface, simply because of the fact that we're bypassing the audio kernel using the Xenomine extensions to give the audio thread much higher priority than the Linux kernel. At that point, you couldn't go through ALSA. And this allows you to achieve a buffer size of 2 samples, which brings you to less than 1 millisecond round trip latency for the audio, And that 1 millisecond is mainly due to the latency to the filters in the converter. You could get to less than 100 microseconds round trip for the analogs if you really want to. So the sensors, analog inputs and outputs are sampled at 22 kilohertz, which is pretty remarkable, which means you can do sort of audio rate IOs there. For instance, you could use them for, you probably wouldn't want to use them in the audio path, even though you can. But you may want to use them, I don't know, for some side chain on a compressor, for trigger inputs, those sort of things, from a piezo, for instance, or just to get to a 22 kilohertz sampling rate from an accelerometer, so you can properly filter the data. These are synced up by the audio clock, so they're aligned, and we're also using the onboard GPIOs, 16 of them, to get also 16 digital inputs and outputs, or outputs. The Zenomai software, the Zenomai extensions allow to give the audio thread higher priority than the Linux kernel, as we mentioned earlier. And so in practice, you get a real-time audio environment. So you get the same real-time performance of a microcontroller, in a sense, because the kernel does can't interrupt your audio. But at the same time, you get the full stack of Linux if you need to do anything like storing files, doing network, SSHing, compiling on the board, those sort of things. Right now, so it started using C and C++. Now there are ways to run pure data patches on it, using a couple of things we'll see later. And recently, we had the support for Faust. And we're working on getting SuperCollider done, but there's more on this later. We targeted mainly to musical instruments and live audio performances and music installations would be the whole thing. I mean, the kit sold on Kickstarter for £110 or something like that, including shipping. If you need to do a musical installation, it's much better to leave one of those rather than your laptop, I guess. The guys over there, I'm Giulio, and Liam is over there, and Astrid is over there. We are all from the Center for Digital Music. They use it for a kinetic sculpture, where they were controlling stepper motors with it. You can use it to do vector graphics on an oscilloscope, all sorts of things. Go to the website to see a few examples of that. We already mentioned this. We bypassing the Linux kernel using Zenomai, but still you can use USB, for instance. The MIDI over USB is available, just like through the standard Linux API. Good. So not everyone may be familiar with Zenomai. I wasn't before starting working on this project, and I'm not an expert just now. But what I found is that there are a few things that you need to be concerned of. Which partly apply to general real-time programming, but some of them don't. So what the Zenomai scheduler can do is can interrupt the kernel even in non-preemptible operations, which is something you wouldn't be able to do otherwise. This allows you to get back to your audio callback every time you need it, even at very small intervals. And the thing here that's called mode switches. So a Zenomai thread is just a thread that's scheduled by the Zenomai scheduler, and it should run always in. Well, it doesn't have to. It's not that it should run, but when it starts, it runs in Zenomai mode, and that allows you this whole high priority thing. But if you do something that goes through the kernel, then it will have to switch into kernel mode. Now, each of those switches carries an overhead, which is bad, and also makes it more difficult. And also it takes more time to reschedule wake up a thread that's in kernel mode. So you want to avoid mode switches if possible, but you also want to make sure, you surely want to make sure that your audio thread has no mode switches. So of course you need to avoid disk I/O and socket I/O and printfs in the audio thread, but we know this already from. Well, actually, you would occasionally put printfs in your audio thread, and if you just put a couple, it's not going to be a big mess in a regular real-time programming environment. But in this case, a printf would trigger a switch, mode switch, and that would be much worse than regularly. So there's alternatives. There's a function, as my function is called rtprintf, that does exactly the same thing. Pthreads would call the same issue, and We found out while working on SuperCollider that there was a conditional variable, a C++ thing, when you try to wake up a thread using notify one, that would also trigger a mode switch. So that's not something that would necessarily be bad as a general rule, unless you're using Xenomai, in which case you need to work around these things. This is the board layout. Changed a bit. We don't actually have the old GPIOs here. It would be great. It's just all over the board, but this was better for commercial purposes, I guess. Connected, embedded fast, and hopefully easy to get started. We'll find out. The API, so again, I mentioned there are various ways of running it, of writing code for it, but it all gets wrapped into this C interface. So you have a setup function where you do, guess what? You have a render function, that's the audio callback, and then you have a cleanup function at the end. So it's pretty standard under this regard, and if you have something that's running on a different API, you probably have similar functions to call. So our website is down here, it's bella.io, and if you go to /code, you'll find all the documentation for the code, the source code, and the slides for this presentation, examples, and sort of things. Sorry, I moved around the slides and I get surprised by these things. This is sort of what I mentioned earlier. You get the few reasons how the latency adds up. But we don't need to care about this just now. Oh, shit, what's happening here? Oh, yeah, nice. Like this one. I didn't make the animation. So, well, this just shows you that that's simple double buffering. So we're using double buffering, of course, so you have time, one buffer of time to do your computations while something else is reading the inputs and writing the outputs. And I didn't mention this so far. The reason why I went for the big one black, actually, was that there's a onboard microcontroller sort of thing. It's called the PRU, Programmable Real-Time Unit, that's inside the same chip that holds the ARM A8 core. And this programmable real-time unit is a programmable real-time unit. It runs at 200 megahertz, has a limited set of instructions, and can share memory with the main ARM core. And that's a great part. So we're using that PRU to communicate with the audio codec and via SPI to the DAC and the ADC to get the samples in. These are written to a location in memory, and then we set a flag or send an interrupt to the ARM core that will know that there's a new block of samples to be processed. Amazing. Well, we generally use interleaved format for the sample. I mean, at the moment we use interleaved format. We may switch to non-interleaved or give an option later. So yeah, we have, as I mentioned, we have 8 ADCs running at 22 kilohertz, 2 audio running at 44.1. So you see we have every 2 audio frames, if you consider a frame an LR pair. If it's 2 audio frames, you have the whole 8 inputs and outputs. And I think that at this point, we can give out the kits. So we have 25 of them. You'll need a machine. Hopefully, on Linux will just work. You just plug the USB in and you're online. On Mac, you'll need to install some drivers for USB tethering. And they've had some big issues lately. So good luck. We're giving out the kits and then see how the thing works.
So bad.
Take cords around, that'd be great. If you can take cords around. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm actually a nice guy.
I'll do that in a second. So in the meantime, if you want to go to... If you want to go to... If you want to go to our website, go to bella.io/code. I should have put a link here. There you go. Good, so if you want to go to bella.io/code, we probably put together all the instructions you'll need, and you'll tell us where the bugs are.
Has everyone got a USB cable?
Sorry, are there any questions so far about the structure architecture thing? Sorry?
It's localized to my language.
I'm sorry about that. We didn't translate it.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm asking. So it's like half in Serbian, half in
English. Oh, well, of course, I can't tell you where you can change the language. I mean, I can look somewhere up there, maybe.
No, it's like sign up.
Well, anyhow, there's not going to be text in Russian. So if you want to go to the wiki, sorry about that. It's not. Sorry. So if you go to the wiki, which will be the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, then you'll find what you need. Okay. Good. So make sure before you plug the BigBone in, of course you already did, but make sure the SD card is pushed in, otherwise it will boot from the embedded memory. Good. You'll want to download the files from the files section. I put it up. Maybe I didn't update it. Maybe I didn't set it available for you. Yeah. There's the Bella minilac.tar archive. I thought you would like the tar archive. It's on the files download section. Despite I wrote files here. Maybe that's what it's called. Yeah, it's called files. Okay, in that tar archive, you'll find a copy of the repo, which is available otherwise through the repository here, with a Mercurial clone. And there are a few more things, not much really. But yeah, I thought it was handy to provide it. Good. So if you're done with it, though Mac users, if you go to the wiki and you go to getting started with Bella, that's where you'll find the link to the drivers. This is your link. And if you're on El Capitan, let's hope it works.
Wait for everyone to be at this point, or should we just carry on?
Good. So, good. So, hopefully, most people will be online at the moment. I mean, I didn't say what online means. It means that you can SSH into the board through at the address 192.168.7.2, and or more simply, you could just open up your web browser and type the same address here and go to port 3000 192.168.7.2 :3000, and if you hit enter there, and my board is not faulty, and oh, I need to if config it up, I think. Yeah, root. No password. Yeah.
So
I don't know if on my board the ID is for whatever reason not running. I don't think so. I don't even know if the FTDI driver is actually needed. I put it there because it's in the instruction on the BeagleBoard website, and I never tried without. Yeah, the horn is. There you go. And you should be shown something similar. And I think I'll let Liam on.
So you don't.
Oh, shit. It's passing through my body.
Maybe I can use the hand mic.
Oh, yeah. Can we switch? Tate. Or can we switch to the handle? Or use the handle microphone? Maybe it's right.
Okay, so to use the web browser-based IDE, you don't need to install any of this software apart from the drivers. You simply need to open up a web browser and just go to the IP address on port 3000. And so the idea of this IDE is that it gives you everything that you need to program in Bella straight right there. So you can see you've got your setup function here, and you've got your render function here, and you've got your cleanup function here. The render function is called once every single audio block, and it gives you this thing here called context. And inside the context are your audio and analog buffers, which you can then access to get at the audio data.
Sorry. Looks like it's not powered.
Has anybody managed to get this IDE up and running? Is anybody having problems? We got this? Okay.
Okay.
So if you've got the IDE up and running, if you come over to the right-hand side here, there's a series of tabs. And this one with the folder icon is the most useful one. So in here, there's this example menu here where you can open some examples and see some code that's already running. So one of the most simple one is the kind of basic analog input. And this will demonstrate to you how to basically access the context to get hold of the analog data and the audio data.
If you config USB 0.
Another cool thing about this IDE, it has an inbuilt oscilloscope. So if you open up, for example, the scope basic project from within this example thing, and then click the run button over here, and then click the scope button, which is down here, this will open up and it will show you. So this patch is basically generating three sine waves in real time, separated in phase. And then the scope API is actually plotting them in real time so that you can see exactly what's happening on the board as it's happening, which is very useful. Yes.
Where does the scope get its signal from?
So basically, you can program it from within the API here. And so you can send any variables that you have in your program, including inputs from the analog or audio or any other variables that you like. There's a very simple API here where you basically just say scope.log, and then you pick the symbols or the variables that you want to plot. And you have to call that once every single audio sample. And then it will plot that to this scope over here. You can control how the scope is plotting things in here exactly like a normal oscilloscope. So you can trigger it based on the different channels. You can change the trigger mode and that sort of stuff. You can zoom right in and have a look at, or zoom right out and have a look at what's going on with the thing. So you can see here, these signals are sampled at 44 kilohertz, so you can actually zoom down and see the sampling rate. You can see the kind of the step-based sampling that's going on there. So basically, that's a really quick introduction to how to use this IDE. There are, of course, several other ways, methods of programming with this. If you'd like to try, we can have, I don't know, maybe if Julia wants to describe some of these. So we've got a PD-based workflow where you can design your program in Pure Data, and then we use a cloud-based compiler called Heavy, which compiles it to optimize code straight for Bella. And we have instructions for uploading and compiling with that. We also have another PD-based workflow using libpd, which is totally open source, this one. We can also describe how to do that in detail a little bit later. There's also a Faust workflow, as we said before, and you don't have to use this IDE if you don't want to. You can also program on your own and use some scripts to upload and compile to the board. Yeah, so if you come over here on the right-hand side of the IDE as well, it gives you a few options in here. So you can control the buffer size of your audio samples. You can actually go right the way down to 2 audio samples. That means that you only get 2 audio samples in a buffer, and you have a very low latency of 1 millisecond. But you can also increase that in order to increase your kind of amount of programming capacity. Well, so I always use 2 because I like having the super low latency. I do a lot of kind of feedback control with it, and obviously, like, low latency is really useful in that. So to give you an example of the different kind of performance that you can get at, with a buffer size of 2 samples, you can get about 500 wavetable oscillators, and a buffer size of 8 and above, you can get more like 800 wavetable oscillators. So you get quite a lot more processing power if you sacrifice a little bit of latency.
All running on the ARM.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Those kind of buffer sizes, most of the latency is in the converter, right?
For the audio inputs and outputs, most of the latency is in that. The analog inputs don't have those converters, and so they don't have that latency, and you can actually get down to around about 100 microseconds with those guys. If you want to do some PD stuff.
Ho, good. I also need to mention that we haven't yet optimized. Basically, the samples are read from the converter as integers, and then we converted them to float on the ARM chip, and we haven't properly optimized that yet. So this gap in the performance could be probably taken down a bit. So right now we probably have around 18% of CPU used just for running an empty loop, and that can probably be taken down to a bit less, I guess, because we're using the vectorial floating point unit, which is not called vectorial floating point unit, but it's called Neon on the ARM chip, and that can run same instructions with 4 instructions at a time. Sorry, I didn't want to show the Apple. Good. So these are things just mentioned, and so I don't think we're going to do a real, sorry? Yeah, sorry, here we go. So we brought a few sensors, FSRs and potentiometers. Do you have anything else? Piezos? Yeah. You have a few piezos? And?
LDRs.
Okay, good. Do you actually have them?
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, exactly. We better give them out. So the audio outputs, sorry, let me go back to the whole presentation mode. The audio outputs are the 2 3-pin Molex, the audio connectors are 3-pin Molex connectors on the side of the board. And they'll be carrying, I mean, each of the connectors carries a stereo signal. We're giving these 3.5 mils cables, connectors, female connectors, but you can actually do whatever you want with them. And whereas the analogs, input and outputs, will be on these headers, they're marked in orange and green, respectively. You also have an I2C four-way connector just there. A more detailed pinout is available through the wiki, so you know exactly what goes where. It's going to be here, and it's going to be here. At the top of the wiki, there's a link to the diagram if you need to actually connect something. Good. So we should have breadboards as well. So that'll make it more fun, more easy to connect the sensors. Do you have breadboards out yet? Good. Before going into the proper thing, I'll just show you a few workflows that you can use with Bella, so you can see if you want to do some C++ things, or if you want to use Pure Data or Faust, or help me with SuperCollider. So I'll just skip over all of this. Again, the pinout is on the on the website, on the wiki page. Why did I leave this line here? Am I running the wrong? I'm running the wrong presentation. That explains a lot. I know, actually, that one was the wrong one. Good. So, okay. So let's have a look at the C++ API. As you've seen in the IDE, it looks like this. You just call these three functions: setup and render and cleanup. Most fun stuff happens in render, where you get past this context variable. The context variable holds pointers to the analog inputs and analog outputs and audio inputs and outputs and digital inputs and outputs, and also contains sort of interesting variables like the number of channels you're running, the number of analog channels you're running, and the sampling rate, which is, by the way, fixed at 44.1. We have a couple of macros that allow you to access, basically to read and write the buffers without caring about the fact that that they're interleaved. They're not macros, but the functions are probably in line by the compiler. I'll just have a look at what this context variable gives you. So they're going to be in the code docs up here. And I think module, not classes, the thing at the top here. So again, you can find, if you've got the context audio in and context audio out will be the pointers to the audio in and out buffer. Context analog in and context analog out will be the analog input and output buffers. And digital is sort of peculiar in the sense that to do digital I/O, we're actually using a 32-bit word where half of that sets the direction and half of that sets the value. Or reads the value. So you'd be better using the macros to read and write digital because you don't want to go down in bitwise operations. Number of audio frames, audio channels, sampling rate, all sorts of things you could do, and also a counter of the samples that have elapsed so far. Now, before we give out any wires and sensors and stuff, I need to tell you that about the voltage tolerances. So you can plug up to 5 volts in an analog input, although the converter is scaled between the 0 dB full scale is 4.096 volts, so you don't get much by plugging 5 volts. Don't plug something more than 5 volts in there. The analog outputs are 5 volts, and the digital inputs and outputs, being they the actual BeagleBones GPIOs, they shouldn't get anything above 3.3 volts. Otherwise, you're gonna destroy the BeagleBone. So yeah, be very careful what you plug in there. So that was it for the C++ API. We've recently worked with Ollie Larkin and Jan and Stefan Letz to get a Bella target for Faust. So it's now already available through the online compiler. Just yesterday, I was speaking with Jan, and we found out that he upgraded the compiler on the web server, on the server, and basically now the binary produced right now is not compatible with the SDs we have here. So if you want to compile Faust code, it's still possible. You just need to generate your CPP file and then put it in the appropriate folder on the Bella. And basically use the build project script that you'll find in the scripts folder of the file that you already downloaded. And you use the build projects folder with this syntax here. You just run build project, and then you just give it a path to the file or to the folder that contains your C++ files and includes. And to map Bella analog inputs to Faust, you need to use something like this. I'm sorry, I never used Faust before. I only run the examples of the playground. But I tested these things and they work. So I'm not going to tell you what this thing is called, but that's how it works. Again, this is on the wiki, or on the slides. So I'll now skip over this. We got it to work with SuperCollider. Again, it's not just about creating an additional target for the an additional audio server, an additional driver. in case of Super Collider. But it's also about making sure that there are no mode switches in the audio thread. The issue with Super Collider was that notify one function that was causing mode switch. Anyhow, we got it to work. And the point is, I don't know Super Collider, right? So I know I can run 120 sine waves and get 50% CPU time, but I don't know how that scales to practical use. So if there's anyone here that's familiar with Super Collider, have one image where it runs, and if you want to play around with it, I'll be happy to see what you can achieve. And then there's the whole pure data thing, which happens to be in another set of slides. As mentioned, you can use pure data patches in one of two ways. One is using the heavy audio compiler, which is, well, I'll go down here, and the other is using libpd. I assume you know what libpd is. So here's just a quick comparison between heavy and libpd. Let me see if this thing goes full screen. View, present. Yeah, great. So Heavy is an online service that takes your PD patches, analyzes the graph connections, and writes and gives you back optimized C code. It actually does many more things in the sense, it gives us back C code that has all the includes for ARM and actually compiles very well on our platform. But you can do many more things. You can target JavaScript. You can target Unity, so C#, and you can also download binaries of VSTs. So you can turn your PD patch not just into a VST as it would be using libpd, but into something that's more optimized and runs much better, much faster. And there's some performance things down there. On the other hand, this thing you could still do it with PD, right? And libpd, because there've been ports for other things like for open frameworks or for JavaScript, or again, I've seen something recent. It's called Chamomile, I think, for running VSTs, running PD into VSTs. Downsides of Heavy is that it requires an internet connection because the service is online. They don't share the binaries. They don't share the source code. And then you need to compile it. And if you compile it on the board, it will take maybe 1 minute, which may be less than what your average VST takes, but you may not be willing to wait for that. Libpd, on the other hand, you just run it. You just restart the binary once you update the patch, and it just starts immediately. But yeah, the great advantage of Heavy is that it gives you optimized code. So if you compare it with Clang, you get maybe 25% CPU time, CPU usage on something that using libpd would take 55%. And so in an embedded platform like this, that's really useful. So I'll just try this, see if it works straight away. It's not prepared. So we have a set of scripts, as mentioned. So I'll just go to the folder that I gave you, and scripts, and then I do build PD, -i, and that's probably where I have it. It's here, maybe. Actually, I have one on the BigBone itself. Oh no, it's here. It's here and looks like this. Is it? Yeah. So I have this nice patch here. And good. I do that and it should be enough. Almost. Except that I didn't do something, I guess. Oh, right. I need to give, I need to give the path to a folder. So I need to create a folder for it. Good. Okay, so that already came back. The code already came back from the online compiler, which is very fast. And now it's probably hoping to run it on the board, assuming that my board is up. Yeah, there it is. File is copied to the board, and now it's compiling. This is the first compile, so it's compiling also the core CPP files, but future compiles will take a bit less. And this thing is plugged in here, so by the time it starts, you may be able to hear something. Good. the core files take relatively little to compile. By the way, in the meantime, while that's compiling, so you see, it's very easy. You just run a script, and that does all the heavy lifting for you. Before that, the first time you'd run it, you need to have created an account on the website, and this again is down here in the wiki. Compiling pure data pages for no, here it is. Running pure data pages on Bella, and that's where you find all the instruction to set up this thing. Basically, apart from what you've just seen of running a script, you need to first create a login, and the first time you run the script, you need to enter your credentials. But apart from that, you're all set. Okay, still compiling. Alternatively, if you were thinking of running pure data patches using libpd, there's already libpd compiled for this version. For this, on this SD image, there's already libpd in /user/libs/libpd.so. And on the in the home folder, there should be a binary called... So here's the batch running. Again, it took a while because it was the first compile. It will take less in future compiles. If you want to run libpd patches, then there's libpd bella binary file in the home of the BeagleBone that we gave you. And that just loads the whatever underscore main.pd file is in that folder. If I try to run it now, it will not run because there's the other one still running. Of course, you can only run one of these programs at a time. But if I do this, then it will just run in libpd. Same thing running on libpd. Okay. I think we can skip over most of the rest and just see if you want to make something useful with it. I'll just bring up a couple of diagrams on how to connect things. So we have potentiometers, force sensitive resistors. I don't think we have LEDs. And piezo mics. Piezo discs, actually. And so, yeah, I guess you know how to do these things, but I'll leave these on in case you need it. You have the slides online anyhow. Good. So I guess that, are there any other questions? Amazing. So I think we can just play around with this. We'll be around to help you setting it up and getting to work. And hopefully we'll come up with something useful by the end.